Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Alien in Chains by Liz Poffel, narrated by Raven Hawkins. Chapter 1. Rinna Mackey's car window screeched painfully as she rolled it up to block out the stench wafting in from outside. Reaching for her purse in the passenger seat, she kept her eyes on the road, willing the traffic jam to unclog while rummaging for a small bottle of perfume. Traffic had been touch and go for the past 20 minutes, and it wasn't even rush hour yet. She just wanted to be home. The quietness in the car gave her too much time to mull over the improbability that she was getting the job she had just interviewed for. The clod of cars moved a few feet as she misted the inside of the car with perfume. The SUV in front of her suddenly hit the brakes, and she did the same, cursing as they nearly collided. Washington, D.C. was a beautiful city, mostly. Save for random, filthy streets like this one, terrible traffic, and the ridiculous cost of rent for a crumbling apartment in a shady neighborhood that she worked two jobs to barely afford. She patted the steering wheel of her old Buick LeSabre and said a silent prayer that it wouldn't fall apart before she made it home. The car had been extra creaky on the commute today, the brakes squealing loudly and reminder she was overdue to have them replaced. Just another bill she couldn't afford. She'd been confident going into the job interview this morning, but 5 minutes into it, Rinna's intuition said she wouldn't get the position. It was the Smithsonian. There were 200 applications for every job opening, and her unimpressive, basic archaeology degree from a generic university wasn't the level of clout needed to knock the human resources manager's socks off. It didn't matter. She'd apply again the moment another curator position became available. Working at the storied museum was her dream, and some things were worth the constant disappointment, frustration, and perseverance to achieve. That's what she told herself to keep herself going anyway, even though she didn't fully believe it. It shouldn't be this hard. But then again, when had her life ever been easy? Admittedly, things were a lot more difficult than she imagined they would be after she graduated college. Financial issues, a crappy apartment, no money to purchase a newer car, no money, period, working herself to the bone, and a few short-term boyfriends that just didn't stick summed up the past 2 years. Luckily, most of her college education had been paid for with academic scholarships, but she needed a professional job to support a better life. The life she used to dream about when she was little. A clean, warm, safe home in a pretty neighborhood where people looked out for each other. And maybe a family one day, too. For now, her day job at an art gallery and a part-time evening position for a local theater company sufficed. Barely. Worst-case scenario, she failed completely and had to move back home to Iowa to live with her alcoholic parents. Her upper lip curled in distaste. The threat of that alone was enough to motivate her to get up every day and keep trying. Gripping the wheel, she sighed in relief as traffic began steadily moving. The pace picked up, and she made it to the off-ramp, then down the maze of side streets that led to her apartment building. She parked and fished her keys from her purse just as her cell phone chimed with an incoming message. It was an email from the Smithsonian. "Thank you, but we've chosen another candidate. Best of luck in your job hunting journey. Yada, yada, yada." Shit, not again. Clenching her eyes, she sat in her car for a few minutes and breathed through the sting of rejection. It was hard, even though she fully expected it. She scrubbed a hand over her face. At least she was off from the art gallery today and had plenty of time to wallow before heading to the theater tonight. She could call out sick and continue wallowing, but her boss, Marco, was so excited about tonight's show that she didn't have the heart to put him in a staffing bind. It was hot today, and the theater was going to be humid and uncomfortable. She'd be cranky and sticky and sweaty. Great. The building was on the historic register and in desperate need of updating, starting with the heating and cooling systems. Marco was more focused on his fabulous, self-directed, and solo-written plays than he was necessary upgrades. So Rinna, the staff, and the scant few who attended Marco's events either roasted or froze while enjoying the show. She sidestepped the man sleeping in the entryway of her apartment building, checked her mailbox, then took the stairs to her level. The sound of classic rock music thumping in the hallway put her immediately into a bad mood. The jerk who lived beside her was always blasting music, but he wasn't normally home this time of day. So much for some peace and quiet in which to mope and feel sorry for herself. Rinna realized the sound wasn't coming from beside her apartment, but across from it. Her scalp tingled as she glanced there, and a smile tugged her lips. Is he back? She tossed the door across from hers, a curious glance, before going inside. Rinna tugged her bottom lip between her teeth in sweet anticipation. The apartment complex was filled with musicians, college students, and aspiring artists, but her neighbors across the hall didn't fall into any of those categories. They'd moved in about a year ago, and none of the three seemed to have consistent schedules that suggested they worked regular jobs. They all often disappeared for a week or two at a time. They'd been gone well over a month this time. Tristan, Ethan, and Mark, maybe? She couldn't remember. They all had frat boy names, though, and were three of the hottest men she'd ever seen. It was odd how each of them were tall, built, and handsome in a way that didn't seem quite real, as if they'd been airbrushed to perfection like the models in a magazine. They'd introduced themselves once when they passed in the hall, and though she hadn't seen much of them coming and going, Ethan and Tristan seemed joined at the hip. The third roommate, whose name she couldn't remember, and a fourth friend who was hardly around, seemed to do their own things. She was attracted to Tristan from the second he introduced himself so long ago. How could she not be? He was 6'3" of hard, muscled body and a chiseled face with the most kissable lips. She'd fantasized way too much about running her hands over his olive skin and thick black hair, considering she'd said like 4 words total to him in a year. And there'd been that one time when she tripped over her feet as he passed her in the hall. He'd caught her and kept her from falling on her face. A normal person would have said thank you, but she'd been so blindsided by the rush of heat through her body at the feel of his strong arms that she'd moaned. Loudly. Like a woman about to have the biggest orgasm of her life. Right there in the hall, with him grinning amusedly as she scrambled from his embrace and hurried down the hall like her ass was on fire. Yeah, that time. Face flaming at the memory, Rinna tossed her keys into the small bowl on the entryway table and slipped out of her shoes. She'd long ago resolved that she wasn't the type to attract men like Tristan, whatever his last name was. Not with her unfortunate nose, as her mother always said, plain brown hair and weird gray eyes. Years of trying to improve her appearance with makeup and the latest hairstyles never produced the looks she was longing for, so she'd given up trying after college. It didn't matter anymore. She was educated, smart, kind, and a hard worker. One day, her Prince Charming would come along and love her for those attributes. Likely that Prince Charming wouldn't be Tristan from next door. The sound of the doorbell disrupted her musings. Her shoulders slumped as she spied a pizza delivery man through the peephole. Not this again. For the past couple of weeks, random delivery people had been showing up at her door with food she didn't order. Trash and broken beer bottles had been left outside her door. A razor blade had been shoved under the threshold, and someone placed nails around her car tires, hoping she'd unknowingly run them over. Others in the building were experiencing similar things, but without a working security system in the complex, there was little to be done about it. Rinna clenched her jaw and opened the door. The kid in a red hat and black polo shirt with an upside-down slice of pepperoni pizza on it thrust a stack of takeout boxes at her.
That'll be $50 even, not including tip.
I didn't order pizza.
Is this apartment 15, floor 3?
She didn't answer since the apartment number was clearly listed beside her door. The kid's name tag read, Frank. His eyes narrowed suspiciously, and he scratched beneath his ball cap.
Oh, wait. Are you the lady who keeps ordering pizza and then refuses to pay for it?
I'm not ordering anything. I keep being pranked. His green eyes darkened in irritation.
Look, I need you to just pay for this.
Stand your ground. Again, I didn't order anything. Frank whipped out his phone, pulled up an app, and showed her the information. 2 large pepperoni pizzas with extra cheese, 40 spicy boneless buffalo wings, and a dozen cookies to be delivered to her address.
Someone from here ordered it. Just take the fucking pizza, pay me what you owe, and let's be done here, okay?
Crossing her arms protectively over her chest, she resisted the urge to bolt back into her apartment. She hated confrontation, and she'd learned early in life that being a people pleaser and smoothing things over tended to de-escalate aggressive situations. Most of the time. I'm really very sorry. I don't know what's going on with all these deliveries. I'm happy to tip you for your trouble, but I'm unable to pay for the pizza.
Whatever. I'm calling the cops. You can explain to them.
Seriously, you're calling the police? Frank stared at his phone and tapped on the screen.
Yeah, I'm calling the fucking cops. Hey!
The booming voice made them both jump. Frank spun to look behind him. Rena's eyes went wide. Tristan. She hadn't heard his door open. Larger than life, his body took up the entire doorway. His arms were crossed over his chest, pulling his blue and white flannel shirt tight across his body. His deep blue eyes flashed with dominance and threat.
Why are you speaking to the lady like that?
Frank's face paled.
She won't pay for the food.
Rena blinked. I didn't order anything. God, he was so freaking hot and she sounded pathetic. His biceps were the size of her thighs, easily. Tristan stepped forward while reaching in his back pocket. Frank stepped back, nearly running into Rena, as Tristan thrust his hand toward him, holding a $100 bill.
Take it and give me the food.
Frank looked like he might piss himself. Slowly reaching for the cash, he gasped as Tristan jerked it just out of reach.
After you apologize for being rude to a female.
For a moment, no one moved. Rena's ears rang lightly as blood rushed to her head. Was this really happening? Her secretive, seriously sexy next-door neighbor was standing up for her. Frank glanced sheepishly at her, then turned to her fully and swallowed hard.
I'm sorry for my behavior.
Rena nodded quickly, just wanting this whole thing over with. Yeah, okay. Thanks. Jesus. Her entire body was flushed from Tristan's nearness. He exchanged with Frank, the delivery man hurried away, and she was suddenly alone in the hall, with Tristan's eyes on her. He radiated so much power and command. And then he smiled. A brilliant, drop-dead, sexy smile that changed his demeanor completely.
Hello, neighbor.
Hi. Cocking his head, he gave her a slow once-over that she felt like a physical touch.
Are you okay?
A clog formed in her throat. Oh, no. It was the moan. No. She couldn't moan at him again. Clearing her throat, she looked at the ground to try and break the spell he had over her. It didn't work. Little tingles of needy desire sparked between her legs. The scent of fresh minty soap and shampoo wafting off him only made it worse. I'm fine. Thank you for that. I can pay you back.
With money. With money? Oh, God, like he was going to ask her to pay with something else.
Share the pizza with me.
A deep, lusty sigh trickled from her throat. Coughing to cover it, she ran a hand down the back of her hair and tried to think of a way out of this. She couldn't have pizza with Tristan, right? She didn't know him. He disappeared for weeks and then just showed back up. He could be a mobster, a criminal, or an alien for all she knew. Oh, well, the refusal played in her head but didn't come out of her mouth. Sure, thank you.
What?
Rinna opened her mouth to take it back, make an excuse, fake a sudden debilitating disease, anything, but it was too late. He crossed to his door and pushed it open, then glanced over his shoulder at her expectantly. Just looking at him made her feel so good. Spending time with him would only worsen this weird infatuation she had going on. She shouldn't do this, but it was just pizza. It didn't mean anything. Grabbing her keys, she locked her apartment and went to his. Hesitating at his open door, she did a double take at the interior of his apartment. What the fresh hell was this? He glanced at her, his gaze warm and welcoming.
Are you coming?
Their eyes met, an intense longing flooded through her. You have no idea. Chapter 2. Tristan's apartment looked like it belonged in a design magazine. It was twice the size of hers and beautifully done with sleek white walls, gray cabinets, wood floors, and stainless steel everything. Her place was 300 square feet of peeling paint, crumbling popcorn ceilings, carpet worn to the bare floor, and a kitchen sink that was perpetually clogged. She hadn't seen a maintenance person in the building since she moved in. Had Tristan and his roommates done this work themselves? Was that even allowed? He motioned for her to enter.
Come in. Leave the door open if you want.
Rinna stepped farther inside while contemplating his offer to keep the door open. That wasn't a bad idea, considering she didn't know him. But some of the other residents in this building were sketchy and wouldn't hesitate to follow the scent of pizza and chicken wings. After reaching into her back pocket for the reassurance of her cell phone, she closed his door. Normally, it took her time to warm up to people, but she didn't feel wary or hesitant to be alone with Tristan, strangely. He moved quietly through the kitchen, setting down the food, gathering plates and glasses from the beautiful cupboards. There was a simple gracefulness and calmness to his movements that reassured her. Even after years of being away from home, living in the chaos of an alcoholic household trained her to always brace for something disturbing to happen. New situations and environments made her extra wary because they were even more unpredictable. But not here. It was tranquil here. Glancing around the open concept floor plan, she noticed the living room has the same pretty floors as the kitchen. A brown leather couch and two matching plush recliners were arranged before a massive flat-screen television. A dead fern sat in the windowsill across from the couch, its dried leaves hanging limply on skeletal stems. It was glaringly out of place against the beautiful space. Tristan followed her gaze.
Sorry for the mess. We just got back and haven't had a chance to clean up.
Your place is beautiful. I'm not sure we even live in the same building.
If he thought this was messy, he should see her place on a good day.
Did the landlord let you fix this place up when you moved in? Something beside the fern caught her eye, the peak of a black railing outside the window. Odd, she didn't give him the chance to answer before blurting, "Wow, you have a balcony?" Tristan put pizza on the plates.
"Yes."
"One that's not pulling away from the crumbling exterior?"
He cocked his head a bit, as if confused by her question. He set down the plates of pizza on the table, then another piled with chicken wings, followed by two single-serving bottles of orange juice.
We sit out there sometimes. Would you like to see it?
There were a few apartments here with balconies, but none looked usable since their metal frames were hanging off the brick exterior with bolts sticking out. No, I'm already jealous enough. His dark brows arched.
Why are you jealous?
My apartment looks like a prison cell compared to this. Can you work your magic on the landlord and have him come do mine all fancy, too? He arched one dark eyebrow and gave her a shy grin.
I'm not sure you could handle my type of magic.
Her body flushed with warmth. Was he flirting with her? I'm willing to risk it if you can make my apartment this nice. He pulled a chair out for her, then took his seat and settled in with his hands folded. It took Rinna a second to realize that he was waiting for her to eat first.
That was unexpected. He was hot and had good manners.
Sudden awkwardness broke the moment. It was unnerving to have his gaze on her like this. What if she was a messy eater and didn't know it? What if she dropped pizza sauce on her shirt? Or worse, choked on a pepperoni? Taking a small bite of a chicken wing, she did her best to chew appropriately. They ate in silence for a few minutes, but it only made the awkwardness worse. So, you mentioned you just got back. Were you off doing anything fun? She hoped her light, conversational tone would keep the question from sounding too nosy, though she really wanted to know what the mysterious trio had been up to.
We were in Ireland.
He said it as casually as if he'd been at the grocery store. He must have a million frequent flyer miles to be so unfazed about spending time in another country. I bet that was amazing. Did you go for work?
No.
One word said with finality and no suggestion of explanation. She took the hint. He reached for another chicken wing, and the cuff of his sleeve pulled up slightly, revealing a dark gray smartwatch on his wrist. It looked like one of those high-tech, spendy fitness watches that kept track of his steps and calories and such. He definitely looked like he worked out, though to be honest, she had a hard time picturing him in a gym. He just didn't seem the type. Are your roommates at work? He looked over his chicken wing at her, hesitated.
Yes, work.
What did they do? Her cell phone rang, startling her. Sorry, she muttered and reached for the phone. It was Marco. Do you mind? I should take this. Tristan's brows pulled together as if he was confused by her ask.
Of course not. Go ahead.
She answered while looking at her plate. Hi, Marco.
I'm freaking out. All the sequins unraveled for my costume. I can't put on a show quite literally called Sequins if I don't have any sequins.
She swallowed a groan. Despite being a barely passing seamstress, she was the one who always ended up repairing Marco's shoddily designed costumes. Okay, calm down. Don't worry. We'll fix it.
Hurry!
Now? Her gaze flicked to Tristan. I'm in the middle of something.
Do you want to personally be responsible for the death of Sequins, Rinna? Do you?
He hung up and she rolled her eyes. Marco knew she'd taken off from her day job today, so apparently that meant she had nothing better to do than be at his beck and call. Slipping her phone back into her pocket, she took a breath and realized Tristan was still looking at her. Her heart stuttered at the intensity of his gaze. They'd just started talking and she was, shockingly, enjoying herself. Damn it. I have to go. I'm so sorry, she managed to say.
You haven't finished your pizza. Would you like to take some with?
She glanced at her plate. True, she'd had a single chicken wing. Her stomach clenched with hunger, reminding her that she'd skipped breakfast because she'd been too nervous about the job interview. I'll finish this, and then I really should go. Picking up the slice, she took a bite. He looked pleased that she was staying.
Work? He asked. She felt a little déjà vu over their earlier conversation.
Yes, my boss is having a bit of an emergency.
What kind of boss can't handle his own problems?
She huffed a laugh. Tristan was certainly blunt. Marco, he's not much of a boss. He's an eccentric one-man show with an overabundance of confidence, an inflated ego, a zealous love for all things sparkly, and zero life or business management skills. And let's not talk about his propensity to fall for get-rich schemes.
Standing, she picked up her plate and cup.
But he's good to me, so I do what I can to help him out. Tristan's brow furrowed, as if he was mentally running through what she said, trying to comprehend it. Maybe English wasn't his first language. He didn't have a detectable accent, but that didn't mean anything.
That is kind of you. You are a good person, Rinna.
He reached for her dishes. Flushed from the compliment, she handed them over. The tips of his fingers brushed against hers as he took the plate. Rinna's face heated, and she mentally kicked herself. He didn't need to see her getting all hot and bothered. It was kind of you to take the pizza off my hands. Thank you again. Tristan put the dishes in the sink and turned back to her.
I overheard some of your conversation with the delivery boy. It seems these unexpected meals have been showing up at your door frequently.
Rinna blinked. His manner of speaking was so different.
Maybe her suspicion about his English was spot on.
Yes, frustratingly. It's getting old and expensive. He crossed his arms over his broad chest, his biceps pushing against the sleeves of his flannel shirt and pulling the fabric tight. Her brain stuttered, and she had to look away before the moan tried to work free again.
It seems someone is disturbing you on purpose. Who?
I have no idea. She'd thought about a possible list of suspects and only came up with one person. Phil from upstairs, who liked to troll her when she was in the laundry room by watching her from the doorway and blocking her in. He'd scurry away whenever she made direct eye contact with him, but it had become so unnerving that she'd started doing her washing at the laundromat. The police had talked to him and ruled him out. They thought the pranks happening in the building were most likely from someone outside the complex. She wasn't the only one in this building affected, and it seemed other apartments in the neighborhood were also targeted.
Has anything else happened besides the food deliveries?
His eyes narrowed, as if he was anticipating her answer, and the hard set to his mouth gave him a dangerous vibe. Was he getting angry on her behalf? What an unusual response. They didn't know each other, and he had no reason to feel protective or any other way over her. Maybe she shouldn't mention the other things, including the most recent note left on her mailbox that said, "Bitch." Not really. He cocked his head. He didn't believe her. Rinna shifted her weight and shrugged. I mean, just small things here and there. A low, menacing sound rumbled from deep in his throat. Goosebumps rose on her forearms, and a strong urge to press herself into his arms pulsed through her. He'd protect her. No matter what came her way, he'd block her with that huge, hard body and keep her safe. Flustered by her thoughts, she tucked her hair behind her ear and moved to the door. I really have to go. Tristan moved with surprising speed beside her and lightly took her wrist.
Be careful, Rinna. If anything happens to you, I'll...
His voice fell off abruptly. Their eyes locked, and the tingles dancing on her skin went crazy. Her chest hitched as her pulse went wild. The feeling of his hand on her was too much. She pulled back and opened the door. See you around, Tristan. Holding the door for her as she slipped through, he then stepped into the hall, as if watching over her until she got inside. She went in and closed the door, but not before she heard him say,
"Yes, you will."
Chapter 3. He was going to follow.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?